Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. And Lord, as we get into your word today, we ask that there is clarity. There is meekness in our hearts. Our hearts opened and purified by your spirit and by your word. That we are better for the hearing of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking about, you know, in the next, you know, five sessions or five meetings, we're going to be talking about God's eternal plan. God's eternal plan. What's God up to? All right? We may not be able to cover everything today. We just see what we can do with that. And we will stop at some point. God's eternal plan. Hallelujah. He's going to remove my glasses. That's the next thing. Is that right? Praise God. Let me start by saying that every man has a question. Every man. We all have questions in our heart. Deep, searching questions about life, about purpose, about eternity. Why am I even here? What's all of this all about? Why? But you know the good thing? Christianity holds the answer for those questions. Christianity, and what's Christianity? Faith in the Lord Jesus or Christ has got the answer for every question. In fact, not as God, Christ, Christianity is the answer for every question, every passion, every, you know, purpose that we have in our mind. But then there's a challenge. The challenge is that, or let me put it better, the challenge is not the absence of this truth. The truth is there and available. At least we have God's word. We have God's spirit. But the challenge is that the way this truth has been presented too many times, many people have not really had that truth. The Christian message has got the truth, has got the answer, but many times the way we have presented this answer or these questions, yeah, the answers, it brushes away the truth, such that we now celebrate or we now allow more of culture, more of, you know, things that is not really the truth. But yet, that is not the answer to the questions in our hearts. All right? Christianity has got the answer to every question in our heart. All right? The Christian message is very powerful. And our calling, and the calling of the pastor, of believers, everyone, is to present this truth with clarity, with wisdom, and love. I'll say that again. Our calling, what God has, you know, called us to. God has called us into his love. All right? And with that calling, we received a calling, all right, to present the same truth that we have received with clarity, with love, with patience, all right, to people, you know, in a concise manner, in a way that is presentable, okay, hallelujah, you know, we're telling, you know, myself and them, we're catching up, you know, that, oh, you know, if you don't do this, no, it's not about if you don't do this, all right. We're going to see today in all of this. I'm just watching my time and I want to do away with the introduction quickly. Praise God. All right, so the Christian message is powerful and our calling is to communicate that, you know, the message with clarity, the truth with clarity, with wisdom, with love, so that every heart can grab it, can get it. So therefore, what is the plan of God? We're just building on what is the plan of God? Titus chapter 1 verse 3, or Titus chapter 1 verse 1. Let's start from verse 1, then we go there. We do verse 2 and 3. Titus, not Titus fish. But is there a fish called Titus? There's not Titus. Is there a fish called Titus, really? Yeah, so we now call the brand the fish. You see some confusion. So I want to buy Titus. What's Titus? It's not Titus, it's Macra. Praise God. And you know, It looks like what we've done to the Christian message at times. We call it some name that is not it. Praise God. Titus chapter 1. Look at it. Paul, a bond servant of God. Let's read together. Not read together, but let's follow. And an apostle of Jesus Christ according. So that's apostleship of Jesus Christ is not just what I think or what I want or the way I see it or the way it suits me. It is according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth. That word acknowledgement of the truth there, all right, it talks about the exact truth, the truth, the knowledge of the truth, all right? Now look at it, which is according, you know, the way KJV puts it, that's New KJV, it's easier to read, but at times they mix things up, which is according to godliness. So what he's saying is that knowledge is according to godliness. What's God? Like God. So that knowledge is like God. So it means this is the true knowledge about God. All right? Now, what's that knowledge? What's that knowledge? All right? The knowledge is that it is in hope. Now, look at it. That's the plan of God. What's God's eternal plan? All right? It is in hope of eternal life. Ah. Which God? So, at times, now, should I be honest? I can't say I've always kept up to all of my promises. I said, I will meet you by 5 o'clock. All right? But then, God is making a promise here. Let's look at it. So, it's important to know who is making the promise. Okay? Yeah, if this promise there is not Ayo's promise, this is God's promise. Let's look at it together. In hope of eternal life with God, who cannot? It gives some what's it called now? Some confidence, some assurance, all right? That this promise, it cannot. And you will now see this God, before we get it, saying it. This promise, I will do it. The word that I've said, I will do it. It will never come back to me until it has done what I've said it for the purpose of which I've said it. All right? People may disobey. People may rebel. People may... But I will do it. What? We're going to see now. It's like in the hope of eternal life, with God that cannot lie, promised. It's important. All right? Promised. Now, look at it because we're going to expand it now. When did God make this promise? Help me. Before time began. All right? So... This promise was before God, before time began. All right? So, let's throw some things out so that we can, because I'm going to draw some conclusions here, then we can begin to talk about it as we proceed. So, he promised, so let me say something here. Eternal life is the promise of God. All right? So, I want to see eternal life. All right? Eternal life is the promise of God. Okay? So, we don't even work for it. Because if you work for it, then it's no more a promise. All right? It's a wage or it's a salary. It's something, it's a reward. Let's put it better. All right? So, eternal life, nobody works for eternal life. Nobody qualifies for eternal life. Quote and unquote qualify. All right? And nobody as well. All right? Now, eternal life is a promise. So, we didn't pray for it. It's not that for I also prayed. And God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, we have eternal life. No. Bible says that we have all gone our way. All right? Sorry. We've all gone our way. We've gone. Everybody, meaning we've gone. We don't even know the way to come back. That's how the Bible, all right? Mankind went their way. Bible says we've all gone astray. Let's save time. All right? But then it is God that prompted, even before the going astray, all right? It says, God promised it before the world began. So let me just read some things here. All right? So, it's the promise of God, and he will be the one to do it. It is his obligation. We don't have to pray for it. Hallelujah. Now, let's begin to put some light, some context here. So, if God promised this eternal life before the world began, it means, therefore, that he did this when no right and no wrong has been done. So I had not sinned. Adam was not even in the sin. All right? But we're going to make some conclusions. So this before time began to tick, before Adam ate guava or apple. Okay? He said, what God wanted to give is eternal life. What prompted him, what kick-started the process, all right, is he just decided I want to give eternal life. All right? So I said, he promised this before the world began, when no right, no wrong has been done. That's its eternal plan. That's what he wanted to do. Hallelujah. So before the world existed, God had already promised eternal life before any human did, right or wrong. Let's draw some conclusions now. I like to now conclude. I mean, just as an introduction. Because all we're going to say that this did not happen. It happened, but it didn't just happen like that. We're going to go, so what happened? But let's see what God planned. Let's just say something. So this suggests that eternal life is not simply a response to human sin or human sin. Eternal life is not a response to sin. Can we conclude? Because God promised before even we sinned. All right, so it's not because Adam sinned, so let's now arrange eternal life for him. All right, eternal life had been the promise of God before anybody had done right or wrong. Okay, so it's not a response. So the reason we say that God is not reactive, God is proactive. So the narrative that, Adam now sinned and God was now thinking, who are we going to send? Let's send. You are wearing pink. Pink people. Let's no. That's not the narrative. All right. What we're getting to know here is that it's not a response to sin. It's not a response to human or man's disobedience. Rather, what is eternal life? Eternal life, rather, is the deepest longing of God, of God's heart, to share his very nature with mankind. Eternal life, therefore, I'll take it again, is God's deepest longing, the longing of his heart, to share his very nature with mankind. So what now happened? Because now we're just going to because we get to know, and what now happened is what we're going to be discussing for the rest of this Congress. Praise God. What God wanted to do. So where are we now in that plan? Do we now have eternal life? And how eternal is eternal life? All right, how long and what happens in the in-between? That's what we're going to be studying in this series or in this Congress. Hallelujah. So what now happened? Let's begin to take it easy or take it one step at a time. I'm just watching my time and I don't want to talk too much on the distractions. Let's focus on the core. Genesis chapter 1. Let's start from the very beginning. So God promised eternal life. So what happened? Now, we've just said that, all right, and pack it, all right? We're going to come back to it, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Please pay attention. And let's move forward in our study today. I like this. In the beginning... Look at this. Pay attention. Let's before now, I've been talking about this, our study of Genesis. We are not even studying Genesis now. We're just studying some part of it. We're going to take time to look at Genesis well, because our study of Genesis will influence so many things and our understanding of so many things about God. Okay? So, in the beginning, God created heaven and, I'll take it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is it earth or earth or earth? Earth. Covey. No, Caris. What's the correct pronunciation? Earth. Okay. That's my... Okay. It's earth. Okay? Praise God. So God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? So, it means God created the heavens. Heavens, can we call heavens the invisible? And because we can study that and make that conclusion, but I think it's easy for us to agree that heaven is invisible, all right, and earth is visible. So it means I don't like to tick that way because we've just jumped and concluded, but I'm making that case because of our time. All right. So can we call heaven, can we call what God created some invisible and the visible? All right? Right? Okay. Praise God. We will come back to that study at another time. I don't want to dwell on that too much. So the visible and the invisible. So let's talk about the visible. That will be the earth, right? So earth in, you know, is called eres in Hebrew, but in Greek it is cosmos. We have cosmos. That's what we can see. All the creations, the trees, the mountains, the water, the soil, the things we can see, the animals, cosmos things. All right. That would be cosmos. Then we have the ion, A-I-O-N, all right, in the Greek, because that word earth is used for cosmos and also ion, the system, the operations of this world, how things work in this world. All right, God created all of those things. Amen. And the human activities as well. Now, verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. Pay attention, friends, because we're going to begin to study. You don't forget, before now, if you are reading this, what was on God's mind? He promised eternal life. He wanted to give eternal life. And all of this, away, since there is something behind his mind. There's something on his mind. There's something you wanted to achieve. Don't lose that thought, please. Now, look at this. We're just packing that, having that understanding at the back of our mind as we open up Genesis. And the earth was without form. Now, what was without form? The earth. Okay? Without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So, where was this happening? Where was this happening, friends? So without form and all. Now, verse 3. Don't lose verse 2. Verse 2 is important. Verse 2 is very important. All right? If we can put verse 3 to 5 together so that we can just, because we're going. So they had verse 3 and to 5. Let's just put it together so that we just read. I'm going to verse 6, but So the earth was without form and void. Verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. We're going to come back there. Now, don't forget, where was all of this happening? On earth. On earth. Now, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided. We talked about this in our crossover service, end of year service. God divided the light from the darkness. Now, we said, notice it did not eliminate. He put some. He divided. All right. We're not going to go into that, otherwise we digress. Then God called the light day. Again, this is not even the point of study today. God called the light day, and the darkness he called the night. Okay? So, the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, I don't have all the time. Verse 6. Now, where was all of this happening? On earth. Don't forget verse 2, all right? It was the earth that was without void, without form. Okay? Now, look at it. And God said, don't forget, this is happening on earth. Verse 2 is very important for all of this. Study. I wish that verse 2 can stay, then we can rule up, but don't worry, it's not possible with this 2 that we're using. Okay? So, verse 6, it's okay. Then God said, let there be a firmament. Now, firmament is just an expanse. A space, an expanse, okay? An expanse. And it's so he says, let's live in, don't worry. Okay. He says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. Now, again, you know, I'm going to land somewhere now. Where was all of this happening? On earth. All right. So where was God saying, let there be a firmament on earth? All right, in the midst of the waters, don't forget the water covers everywhere on earth and all, you know, and let it divide the waters from the waters to divide. God continued to divide, all right, from the waters. Okay, now, pay attention. God said, let there be a firmament on earth. On earth. Now, verse 7. We're going to make some conclusions now. I just want us to read it and form our conclusions together. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now pay attention. God made this firmament on earth an expanse, a space on earth, all right? And verse 8, we're going to see something now. All of this happening where? On earth. Verse 8. Look at it. Oh, praise God. And God called the firmament heaven. We're looking at God's eternal plan. All right? Forget about, don't forget. I wish I could just. Now, this firmament, where is this firmament? The firmament that God made on earth, what did he call it? Heaven. Okay. So, where is heaven? So, heaven is not somewhere you will travel to. Heaven is on earth. Can we make that simple conclusion? We drove to this point, right? And we're still looking at it. Praise God. Now, that's not the end. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Okay? Verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. We're going to make some. Then God said again, let the waters under the heavens, all right, be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. All right? Now, verse 10. And and God called the dry land earth. So, and the gathering and all. That's the point I want to make there. And so he tells us, therefore, what we call earth today is actually made of heaven and earth. All right? That where we are today, we are on earth, but then there is heaven and earth. In other words, all that we've read now is an expansion of verse 1. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. So heaven and earth is together in one place. So can we say that it's very simple to understand that as we are here today, there are things that we can see. I can see the chairs, all right? And there are many things that are here today that we cannot see. All right? I'm not talking about angels. Let's talk about electronics. All right? I use Airtel. The signal is here now. All right? But we can't see it. All right? We are all breathing. There's oxygen. There's air. But we can't see. So just from that natural point of view. Now what I'm trying to make us understand is that we are on earth, all right, and it is all, and we are also in heaven. That's the plan. That's what God made. Let's move forward quickly, okay? So let me just read my thoughts quickly here, all right? So this reveals that heaven and earth, they are not separate realms. Like, it's not the case that you can separate heaven and earth in that sense, all right? Now, there's a division here. We can only distinguish them. We can say that is invisible, that is heaven, all right, and this is earth in that we can see things. But from God's word, we know that heaven is inseparable or is in the same location with earth. That what we have as earth today is heaven and earth. Let's just begin to move forward quickly. We're talking about God's eternal plan. What's all of this about? So this reveals that heaven and earth, they are not separate realms, all right? And they can only be identified or distinguished, but they cannot be separated. All right? So, earth is not merely a temporary stop on the way to somewhere. I wrote that down. I'm on earth today. It's just a temporary place. All right? And then I will from here go to another place that is heaven. Well, technically so. But we know where we are going is still on earth. So we are not going to another planet. We are not going to another. We are, it's on earth. So in other words, there is the visible, there is the invisible. Hallelujah. And all of them, they exist or they now, let me not say they exist together. What I would say is they intersect. They overlap. They interrelate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not losing anybody. We're telling the story of God's eternal plan, all right? And I need to run so that I can make my conclusion today. Praise God. So it's not somewhere that, heaven is not a distant destination. Heaven is present with us right here. That's what I want us to know. Heaven is present with us right here. Now, for people that use Genesis as a scientific, you know, proof for the age of the, they will make a lot of mistake. All right? Because it's not, that was not what it was intended for. It's a spiritual book. All that was happening here, they are spiritual communication. Hallelujah. Moses, well, I'm not sure if it was Moses, the writer of Genesis. We attribute to Moses, all right? It's okay. He's not even a scientist. Does not even know what chemical or oxygen or whatever. He's not a scientist, so he's not writing anything scientific. Hallelujah. But I don't want to go into that route so that we don't, I can come out of that easily. So heaven is present with us right now and right here, all right? Though it is invisible to our natural eyes. Now, we're talking about heaven. We're going to see this heaven. We're going to change it very soon. Because this heaven will be the eternal life. But maybe I've concluded too early. Let's just put it somewhere. Praise God. God placed man in both a natural and a supernatural world. All right? Because what we're going to see here is that after all of this, God made heaven and earth. You will now see that God placed mankind in two worlds. Or in the middle of two worlds, to be able to operate in the natural world, to be able to operate in the supernatural world, to be able to operate on earth, and to be able to operate in heaven, all together at the same time. All right? So this means that as human beings, we are not partly natural and partly supernatural. All right? We are fully both. I wrote that in capital letters. Please can you help me find your neighbor and tell him or her, you are fully natural and you are fully supernatural. I'll say that again. All right? It says 100% natural, 100% supernatural. Please let me tell your neighbor that way. Hallelujah. At the same time, that's who we are. All right? Now, let's just move forward because of our time. I still want to dwell on more points so that we can get some time to read more scriptures today, okay? So we've established that heaven and earth, they are in the same place. That's why you will notice, all right, that they always put them together. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth will pass. Heaven and earth. All right? Now, there is heaven, no doubt, all right? But if you notice, there it is always heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And we're going to touch more on that as we proceed. Now, we're looking at, so what happened? We're looking at the in-between. What happened? That's what we're studying in this world, so that we can know where we stand, what happened to us. Amen. All right? However, it is possible, moving forward now, it is possible, all right, to be fully functional in one world while being completely dysfunctional in the other world. What God made is for mankind to be fully functional in the natural world, earth, and to be fully functional in the supernatural world, heaven, at the same time. But what we've seen, all right, and I'm talking to you and I today, so that we know who we are. We know what has happened to us as, maybe I don't want to jump to my conclusion yet. Let's drive there. Praise God. All right? So, but it is possible for a man to be fully functional on earth. He's very successful, you know, he does very well naturally, and, you know, and which is okay. God is not against our good life or the things that we do know. All right? But then, what God wants, what God desires, and what God planned for us is 100% natural, 100% supernatural. So I said, when this happened, that you are fully functional in one area or in one realm, in one world, and we are not fully functional in the other side, all right, then we can say that man or woman is walking out of the will of God. Can we simply agree on that? Because the will of God is that we function in both successfully, 100%. All right? So when that does not happen, all right, then that man is no longer walking in the will of God. And that's what happened to Adam. We're going to drive there now to see, all right, where God placed him. So when we, so maybe let's move on, okay? So man's existence was never meant to be rooted on earth alone or confirmed to one realm alone, all right? Our very being. Please pay attention. And I will make a point now. Our very being. I'm not even talking about believers. I'm not talking about Christians. Man. the universal man, all right, has its roots in the spiritual. All right? So there is nothing natural about the man. There's nothing. I think that's not accurate, because I just said natural. But you get the point, all right? So there is, let me put it better. The man is not just natural. All right, so when you say this one is Asian, there's nothing like that. Now, we make that distinction, we make that category, all right, because of our background, of where we came from, our education, the things, you know. But then there is, you will see the clear, frantic efforts of New Testament writers to debunk that lie. That there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there are no male, there are no female, all right? Because the root of mankind is supernatural. It's in the spirit. The root of it, all right? So it made us to be able to function in have you seen those animals that can swim in the water? And I'm not saying we are amphibians. I'm just saying, you know, to let us know this is possible, all right? Okay, let's move forward quickly. I'm removing illustrations so that I can land my point quickly. Okay, praise God. All right. So our very being is rooted in both heaven and earth. All right, and we are designed to thrive in both simultaneously. Hallelujah. But then, in God, so the story we are reading now. Let me paint some pictures so that we can quickly move on. All right. The story we are reading now, we've said that we can flow in heaven and earth, but it's possible. Okay, we've made that point, right? It's possible for a man to be fully here and not fully there. All right. And when that happens, that's not the will of God. He wants the mankind to function here and there. All right. Now, and you now see that God now continues his creation work. You know, let there be light, let there be the moon. We're going to come back to that later on, maybe later on, okay? But then, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. If I had the right to regroup the Bible, don't forget the Bible was not written with chapters and verses, all right? It was written, you know, some folks added that, all right? Now, Genesis chapter 2. Please. All right? Each verse 1, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, if you put verse 1 to 3. Thank you. Okay. Okay, maybe we just read one after the other then. Okay? So, you know, God, because we teach a lot from the New Testament, Jesus is here, but he's not Jesus at this point, okay? So, he said, so he made this, he gave power. He says, thus, pay attention. Now, we're going to read some other things that is very important. Thus, the heavens and the earth, that's what we'll be reading, right? Thus, the heaven and the earth. But then, there's another element that has been introduced that was finished. But it wasn't there in verse 1 that we've read. He says, thus the heaven and the earth and the host of them. What's the host of them? All right? Now, the host, so this host of them will be the host of heaven, all right, and the earth. Now, so if you now continue to read the Bible, I have the references here, but because of our time, you will now hear host of heaven, the Lord of hosts, all right, Jehovah or Yahweh Sabaoth. All right, the Lord of hosts. All right, thank you. All right, so what I'm trying to say is that the host of them were finished. So God made the host of them. Now, again, let me quickly conclude. All right, and I think it's simple for me to conclude on this, that those hosts of them, they will be supernatural beings, angels, right? Angels. Supernatural beings. Now, I know I've concluded there. I didn't explain that, but it's because of our time. I'm watching the time. All right. So, and the host of them, it was finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. So, the angels, the supernatural beings, the, you know, what we later call the sons of God and all of those, they were made together with all of this. All right. Like I said, if I had the right story right, I would have added this bit to chapter 1. All right, so that we know, so because it was the creation story, this will be the end of the creation story. All right, because in verse 4, it now began another story entirely. Okay, so So and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and he rested from we're going to come back here, all his works which he had created. So he created the host. Now, this host of them will be very important in our studies going forward. Hallelujah. All right? So he made the host of them and all. All right? Now, verse 7. Praise God. Now, if you continue to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, please, let's follow. All right? Again, it's another iteration. Another, you know, like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God made heaven and earth, all right, is fully and complete. Then verse 2 began to explain verse 1. All right? So what you read in Genesis chapter 1, they are it or reiteration. It's just going around to explain what happened. Hallelujah. So we are talking about the plan of God, right? And I need to drive faster so that we can learn today. Praise God. So where are we now? So we said Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, he now began another thought to again clarify. Don't forget, he said God completed all that he did, right? Again, he started forming man. You know, it's not another formation. He had done it, but he's just clarifying again. But let's just look at what man created. Again, we're going to look at this properly. Look at it. So then, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living being. All right, so man became a living being. This will be man as mortal. Amen? Man as mortal. Man as we are today. All right? Flesh and blood. All right? The man can now reason, has got some soul, has got some ability to understand. He can interact. He can't. All right? But then look at it in verse 8. Let's read verse 8. That's mortality. All right? Now, verse 8. Then, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And what did he do to the man? And he put the man whom he had formed in that garden. Hallelujah. So, again, like I said, is an, call it iteration. All right? So, this is the story of God making the man mortal. All right, and him putting him, all right, or they, she, he, we, all right, because this man here will be mankind, not just the male man or the female man, all right, mankind, putting him in a supernatural world. Eden here is a supernatural world, all right. Someone said, we saw the location where Eden is in the Middle East, it's not true, all right. Again, those are things that are here, we get to know it's again. Explaining what had happened. Don't forget, he said he had done it. And when he was doing it, he did it in a supernatural realm. All right? It is supernatural. Again, we're going to expand all of this later on. I just want to land on the point today so that we can go quickly. All right? So the natural man, all right, was placed, or the mortal man was placed in a supernatural world. All right? So therefore, he's able to now interact naturally and interact supernaturally. I'm going to tell you what I mean, all right? So let me just read my point here. God placed the natural man in Eden in a supernatural world. Now, pay attention to this. This is why he could interact with God. You know, it's not the case that God changed. Bible says God is a spirit. In fact, God is spirit. That's what he said, all right? So, and God is the same, all right? And God did not change. It wasn't that I can see him. Then at some point, because mankind fell, then it disappeared. No. He had always... So again, it buttresses the point that God is this. So, but then God will come, and we have a chat, quote and unquote, all right, with Adam, and they were interacting in that supernatural world. Hallelujah. I wrote something here. That's why he could interact with God, all right? And other spiritual beings, what we call the hosts of heaven. Don't forget, he made the host of them, the hosts of heaven. All right. So therefore, we came to the point. This is what made it possible for Satan. Again, Satan is a supernatural being. I'm just making some conclusions today. We're going to expand it later on as we progress. Okay. We're going to see this. You know, this. So, can we put it this way? that Satan, all right, the devil, is part of the host of them that we read earlier. Can we? I'm making a lot of assumptions. I know, all right, but we're going to expand that because it's just our introduction to this study. All right. So Satan, because you know, is a supernatural being. What was happening? Adam here was functioning purely, all right, in a supernatural world. All right, and so that's why it was able to interact with him. That's the supernatural being Satan was able to interact with him and cause him to sin. Now, let me clarify that. Satan did not make Adam sin. Adam sinned, but there's a curse. All right, because for sin to happen, the man will have to use his will. All right, so it's not that he now dragged his hand, you must eat. No, all right, he persuaded him, he deceived him, Bible says. All right, he was beguiled. All right, Bible says. All right, and he now took a wrong knowledge, agreed with that, used, exercised his will, and now sinned. All right, and when he sinned, that's praise God. All right, intellect and caused him to sin. Man chose to sin by exercising, all right, and expressing his will. That's why, you know, I've had it in many places, and it is true. I think it's true that the strongest force on earth is the will of man. And yet, God gave that will. And let me be troublesome here. All right, I just want to be troublesome. Forgive me. All right, so. God gave us a will. And you know that will, we can use it. Why did you give us a will that we can use? So in order, let me know. So, the what we call the nature of sin, you know, is the will of man. All right? So, the nature of sin, God gave it to us. It's difficult. I said I want to be troublesome. Okay? But let's pack that. But there is the will, the ability to say, okay, I'm just going to do, this is what I want to do. God gave it. God does not impose his will. All right? He gave that will, the ability. And not just mankind, even the host of heaven. This host that we're going to read a lot of them tomorrow. Okay, so the tomorrows will be about this host. Let's look at them. We think Bible didn't talk about them. Bible talked about them a lot. Even think maybe during the Old Testament. The New Testament talks about them a lot. If you hear principalities, if you hear dark powers, the power of this age, those are the hosts. What happened to those guys? Still, in the eternal plan of God. And where do we stand today? Hallelujah. I need to conclude on this quickly. Praise God. Let's move forward. So God has placed man. Praise God. I said God has placed in every man a deep longing for him. I think we've talked about that. And after the fall, yeah, that's the point. After the fall, God placed in mankind that will, that desire. All right? He talked about that in Acts chapter 17, that he placed that desire. He placed not eternity. Maybe we should read Acts chapter 17. Let's read Acts chapter 17, please. Help me. Acts 17, verse 23, I think. He placed so that we may long for him. Perhaps we may find him. Acts chapter 17, 23. Okay, please, let's move on to 24. No, okay. 26, then 5, please. Has made a form of love. Okay. I mean, not. Okay. Since he gave life. Okay, yeah. So go back. This is the place. Please put it back. Go to verse 26. Okay, what did he? So he has made from one blood. Again, look at the point. He made from one blood. So there are no multiple blood. Again, let me not be that. All right. Of the nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. All right. And has determined their pre-appointed, the boundaries. Okay. Their time, the boundaries of their dwellings. So God put that boundaries there. All right. In verse 27 now, why did God put the limits, the boundaries and all of those? So that they should seek him. So in every man, therefore, the point is, there's a longing, there's that urge to want to know more, to want to, every man, don't forget how I started, there's a question in every mind. And that question, God placed it there. That question, God put it there. All right? Why? He said, so that they should seek him. All right? So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope, meaning they might seek him, they might find him. And though it's not even far. Oh, do you now see that God is not far from each of us? Is that heaven? Is this God not being far from us? Is that heaven? So is God here today? Yes. All right? But it's not far. Amen. So let's move forward quickly. All right? So I wrote something there that I just want to read out. I said, God placed in every man a deep longing for him that we've just read, all right, to seek him. But after the fall, that longing did not disappear. That longing did not just vanish, no, all right? But then what happened to that longing is that longing now became vulnerable to this, to perversion, to distortion. As a result, men now seek to satisfy this divine hunger, what God placed in them. I was reading some piece, you know, very beautiful piece, you know, on, you know, one of our friends' status today. I had to ask for where's the source and all of those. All right, God placed that desire there. All right, to look for him. To everybody that knows that there is more to this earth than we can see. Everybody know. At least you sleep and you have it. You have dreams, believers, unbelievers. All right, where is that dream coming from? It's more. You think, you know, have you heard about what we call deja vu? Okay, I think I've seen this thing before. Where is that coming? Now, don't go into all of those. But then, we know there is more to us. We know, all right? And God placed those things there. But then because it's now susceptible to perversion, to distortion, as a result of the fall. Now, don't forget, we've just concluded about the fall. How did that fall happen? We're going to go there later on tomorrow, okay? And now, men now seek to substitute this hunger with other things, you know, occultism, spiritism, dark knowledge, drugs, all right? Perverted expression. You know, someone says, I don't even know if I'm a cat. How can you be a cat? You're not a cat. Or you're not a dog, all right? Those desires, God placed it there. It's an expression for something more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, and we said all of those happened because man fell. I have some few more points to make. We're just going to land quick, you know, nicely today. Don't forget we said man fell. Fell from where? From Eden. All right? From heaven. Heaven is not, heaven, like we said, is invisible. And I'll try and clarify. But in the invisibility of heaven is, how do I put it now? Heaven is a high place, all right? In us being in heaven, it talks about authority, about ranking, about authority, all right? And I'll clarify what I mean with that. Let's see how the Bible talks about Eden. Just three verses, Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. We're talking about heaven, that, you know, God placed mankind in heaven and on earth. It can function in both. We've quickly introduced there because it's a very popular knowledge that mankind fell, all right? We're talking about the eternal plan of God. What is God up to? And what happened in between? Where are we today? What has happened to the believer? Hallelujah. Now, we said mankind fell. Fell from where? From Eden. Is he on high? But let's see how the Bible talks about Eden. Sorry, yeah, Eden, heaven, all right? Now, I'll read. How are you falling? From heaven. Oh, from heaven. Oh, Lucifer. So he fell from heaven. The son of the morning. We're going to go back there next tomorrow. All right. How are you cut down to the ground? All right. He was, quote and unquote, demoted. So this spirit, let's leave that. All right. He says, you who weakened the nations. All right. You have said in your heart, I will ascend. Can you see? All right. I will ascend. It went into heaven. So heaven is somewhere to ascend into. All right? And I will exalt my throne above the thrones of the stars of God. And all. So in this place, it paints heaven and Eden as somewhere high. Hallelujah. Please, can you help me find your neighbor? Tell him or her, I'm seated on high. Tell him or her, I'm seated on high. Let's put it better. am seated with Christ on high. Hallelujah. Ah, that's our reality. Praise God. Now, Ezekiel, let's look at, again, Ezekiel chapter 28, 13 and 14. Let's put it together. Ezekiel 28, 13 and 14. We're talking about God's eternal plan. He wants to give eternal life. He made heaven and earth. He placed the mankind there. All right? He wants us to function in both. Okay? He made everything. He made host of heaven and all. He placed mankind there. Now, I've just quickly introduced the fact that mankind fell. We didn't know what happened. Of course, maybe we know what happened, but we know that Satan deceived him. Now, he fell from where? That's what we're looking at. What happened to mankind in the eternal plan of God? Now, look at it again. You were in Eden. Now, this is a figure of speech, because he was actually talking to a king here, not necessarily the devil, all right? But it's a parable about the king. If you read, let's leave time, okay? So, but then, it's true about what happened, okay? So, he said, you were in Eden, the garden of God. So, Eden is a sacred place. It's a place of God. It's heaven. It's a place of God, okay? Every precious stone was your covering and all. You were anointed. So he said you were in Eden. I'm just trying to find that place. He says the workmanship. All right. He says you were anointed. You were the anointed cherubim and all. I established you and all. All right. You walk back and forth again. Oh, look at it. Yeah, look at it. That's the point. All right. In verse 40, it says you were on the holy mountain of God. That's the point I was looking for. Talking about Eden as a high place. All right. So let me not make this so yet. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to that place. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Again, talking about Eden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. It talks about on high. That Eden is a holy mountain on high. Now, look at Genesis. Again, talking about Eden. It says, a river went out of Eden. Now, if you read other versions, okay, that we don't have the time to check now. It says, went out down. It actually flowed down from Eden. Again, painting Eden as a high place. Okay? Of course, water flows down. Okay? The water goes down. All right? So, again, Eden is a supernatural place. Is a high place. All right? Hallelujah. Then we know what happened to mankind. Mankind fell. Okay? And the reason Jesus will come. All right? We're going to, again, put more to this story. Again, tomorrow. All right? Because something caused it. All right? A rebellion caused it. And the idea of one devil, we'll look at that tomorrow. All right? Caused it. All right? And Jesus will now have to come. All right? And let me make it clear that Jesus, when you see Jesus in John chapter 1 verse 14, that he became flesh, that's not his first appearance. I'll clarify that quickly. All right? In human form. No. That's not his first appearance. His first appearance in human form, flesh and blood, will be his incarnation. All right? But before then, all right, there are several appearances of a personality of someone called the Lord God, the Lord of hosts. All right, don't forget, all of these things were made for him. Nothing was made that was made, all right, without him. All right, so he's the Lord of the hosts, he's the Lord of heaven, he's the Lord of earth. All right, let's wrap up shortly. Okay, so Jesus Christ will come and become flesh. All right, so Jesus Christ will come, all right, and become flesh, because mankind had now fallen. All right, so Jesus, quote and unquote, we bring heaven back to earth, such that anyone that will believe in Jesus Christ, all right, because mankind fell from heaven with the devil when they disobeyed all right, because of unbelief, all right, such that any man that will believe in Jesus will now be in heaven. Hallelujah. All right, so Jesus now becomes the gateway back to heaven. Can we simply agree to that? All right? So, because he had fallen, don't forget, he fell. He now became natural. He became natural. He couldn't hear God anymore. He was cast out of the garden. All right? He was cast out of the presence of God. All right? He broke link. All right? But then that desire is still there. All right? Isaiah put it, says, all of us, we've all gone astray. We've all gone our way. There's no coming back. But Jesus came, all right, brought heaven back to the mankind. All right? But now, the man with God have got to believe. Hallelujah. All right? So when you hear the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, that has been very visible. Let me just give us some. We're not going to read it. So he appeared to Adam. Bible says he walked in the garden. All right? He appeared to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. He appeared to Moses. All right? Not in human form. Don't forget, this is a supernatural man, supernatural being. All right? He appeared to Samuel. All right? Bible says to Samuel that the word of the Lord stood before him. Have you seen a word standing before? No. All right? But to tell us that this is a personality, he stood before him. Jeremiah says that your word became, the word touched him. All right? Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. They saw the Lord. So the Lord coming, the Lord Jesus coming in John chapter 1 verse 14, that's not his first appearance. But he will appear in incarnation now, in John 1 14 as mankind. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. And what has happened to mankind? What happened to mankind is that though mankind mortal, we said it, maybe I should leave that. Let's read Ephesians so that we can wrap up today. Ephesians, we're just going to read two more verses, two more notes, we'll just wrap up today. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. So when you see the writers of the New Testament writing about we are on high, we are seated with him on high, they pick their understanding from Genesis that now we are now back on high. I'm back on high. Praise God. All right? We are now on high. Hallelujah. Let's read. Now, we've excluded some so that we can save time, all right? Paul was praying here that we may know, all the things that God has done for us and all. But verse 19, we're going to read the old verse. We're going to read it into chapter 2, okay? And what is the, was praying that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, all right? So the power of God is towards us now who believe according to the workings of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, hallelujah, and seated him at his right hand in back where now? Jesus died, all right? Where did he put him? Heaven. Now, again, these places is just some confusion. It's back in heaven. It's just like saying Jersey places or London places. London is a place. You understand? But it's okay. Let's leave it there. He's causing no harm. All right? So, he places... Don't forget, Jesus now will now descend. All right? We're going to look at those different worlds into the lower worlds. I'll put it down. Lower world. But then he will rise again. God will raise him again. Where will God sit him now? Back to heaven. All right? So, he's now back to heaven, seated on high with God, in the right hand of God. Verse 21. Can we put 21 and 22 together? Ha 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 ha. Praise God. I like this. All right. See how it does. It says far above. So is he back? Is Jesus back to Eden? Yes. Jesus is back to Eden. All right. Above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. Now those will be the hosts. Those are hosts. The hosts. We're going to talk about them tomorrow. What happened to them? Hallelujah. Why are they now against God? What happened? We're going to see that tomorrow. We don't have the time today. And every name that is named, not only in this age, before, not only now, all right, but also in that which is to come. And he puts all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Hallelujah. Verse 23. I think we have 23. We have 23. All right, which is the body and the fullness of him who fills all in all. So now look at it. Chapter 2, verse 1. Don't forget, it is a continuous letter. All right, chapter 2, verse 1. Ha ha ha. What did he say? And who? And who? And me. And you. So it's not just Christ that he raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Back to Eden. Back to heaven. Hallelujah. And me. And you. All right. He made alive. All right. Who were dead in trespasses because of our sins. Is that what he said? Now verse 2. Maybe we just put, let's do 2, 2. Now we're going to verse 6. Maybe verse 5. But let's do 3 and 2. Okay. If possible. Okay. Thank you. He said, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, again, the prince of the power of the air, all right, the spirit now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom you have your way and all, right, and all. Now, verse 4 and 5, let's just see for time, let's save our time, praise God. 4 and 5, I like it. It's about God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us. What has he done? Even when we were dead in trespasses, what did he do? He made us alive with Christ. He said, by grace we were saved. Now, what, verse 6. Look at verse 6. I like verse 6. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And he raised us together. Did you see the point? He raised us up together. What did he do? And made us sit together in heaven. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm in heaven. Hallelujah. All right. So let's just make some quick conclusion. So I'm not going to heaven. I arrived at heaven in that sense. Hallelujah. Where are we seated? So what's our current reality? We are now raised together because Christ went back to heaven. We are now seated, all right, together in the heavenly. Now, what part of what this is supposed to do for us is that no devil should make you afraid. It should bring about some boldness in you that nothing dies in this hand because I'm supernatural, because I'm in heaven. There's no death, there's no darkness, there's no impossibility here because I'm in heaven, because I'm seated with Christ in heaven. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, he said that he has translated us from the fallen state and he has put us in the kingdom of his dear son. That is our reality. Hallelujah. All right. Now, in the eternal plan of God now, it's not just long. That eternal plan is eternal. So we now have that eternal life now. So eternal life is not something we get when we get to heaven. All right. Because we are in heaven, we have that eternal life now. The believer in Christ has got eternal life now that we can call the Holy Spirit, that we can call heaven, all right? We can interchange that. We have that eternal. Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life. Oh, glory. He says, and they shall never perish. All right? And no one will be able to snatch them from my hand. That's our reality. That is who we are now. So we have, Bible says, anyone that has believed in me has passed from death into that life that he promised. That eternal life. He says, and they shall never perish. And he says, in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, he says, and neither shall any be able to snatch them out of my hand. That's our reality today. That's our reality today. Hallelujah. All right. So I wrote something here that I want to read to us. All right. That eternal life is not just about longevity. Yes, it is long. Eternal life is eternal. But then it is about the authority. So it is forever, and it is authority. It is for, we are seated on high. I'm done today. We're going to continue tomorrow, okay? The believer is on high. You, we, me, us, that have believed in Christ Jesus, we are seated with Christ on high. And that's the eternal plan of God for you today, for me today. We are in the plan and in the will of God. We have that eternal life that God promised from before the world began. We now have that life today. All right. We have it for eternity. We have it and we are above. We read it. It is above. We are above powers, above the host of them. Why? Because we believe in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, brought heaven back to us. Brought heaven back. We lost it. That was our domain before. We sinned. Deception and all of those. All right, we're going to talk about the devil and his host later tomorrow. But now he brought it back to us. I am supernatural. Say, I'm supernatural. Say we are supernatural. Say we have eternal life today. Say we are in the plan of God for our lives today. Hallelujah. I want us to sing this song as we close. You know, what I've done today is just like that story in Genesis. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. And now begin to reiterate. We've now done everything. Tomorrow, we now begin to go back to the middle of the story that we've concluded. We just open it up more. To really know where we are. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. The song says, I am supernatural. I'm supernatural. It says, the resurrection power is working in me. I'm supernatural. I'm supernatural. The power of God is working through me. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song a few times and we close for today. Amen. It says, I am. Now, we are going to teach this song. It's a very simple song. We get it. We just sing it and we go today, okay? I am supernatural. The resurrection power is walking in me. I am supernatural. The power is walking in me. Hallelujah. I'll take it one more time. I am supernatural. The resurrection power is walking in me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. I'll take one more time. I am supernatural. The resurrection power is walking through me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. I want that to be our reality as we sing it. I am supernatural. The resurrection power is walking in me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. Let's sing it. Is walking through me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. I am natural. His resurrection power is walking through me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. Let's sing it, everybody. I am supernatural. The resurrection power. The resurrection power is walking through me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. Let's sing it again. I am supernatural. The resurrection power is walking through me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through. Let's get two more times. I am supernatural. The resurrection power is walking through me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. I am, supernatural. The resurrection power is walking through me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. Now we've done rehearsals. Now we're going to sing it better tomorrow. Hallelujah. Because that's going to be the song we're going to be singing throughout this Congress. Because we are supernatural. That's who God has made us to be. Hallelujah. Do you just want to give God thanks for this as we close today? Let's just give God thanks today. Let's just give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. We are seated on high. All right? We are in the eternal plan of God for our life. We are there. I'm in heaven. Paul will say our citizenship is of heaven. All right? We are there. We are, you know, we are not running heavenly race. No, I'm there already. Oh, praise God. I'm in it. I've got eternal life. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. Lord, we give you praise for today. I'm supernatural. Indeed, I am. There's nothing ordinary about me. There is nothing ordinary about me. I am supernatural. I'm a citizen of heaven. I function here and I function there. I function 100% natural and I function 100% supernatural. That is me. That is my identity. That is what God has said about me. And I believe it. And it is me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for today. Oh, we give you praise, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your word that has come to us today. Indeed, we are supernatural. Indeed, we are supernatural. Thank you for making us so. Thank you for making heaven our habitat now. Thank you for the eternal life that you have given us now. Thank you because we know with this life, we are preserved forever, and we will never perish. We thank you. We give you all the praise. Thank you there, Father. And Father, as we continue even to look more into this tomorrow, our eyes are opened. Our consciousness shifts from struggle to possibilities in you, in the name of Jesus. And we carry this consciousness, this awareness that indeed we are supernatural. Indeed, one with God. We are with God. We are with God. We are with God. And Father, we give you praise forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.